Hey, and welcome to another episode of the Get Good Podcast, the podcast about games and the people that make them all that much better. Look, this is going to be another solo podcast. If you guys remember a few weeks ago or several weeks ago, I don't remember exactly how long ago, but we talked about The Last of Us Part 2. I read an article, interjected some commentary, talked about my hopes about the game, what I was excited about, and it was a pretty fun episode. I think it went on for around an hour. I'm not sure if this is going to go on for just as long. Generally speaking, I don't just like talking endlessly. I know you may think that I like hearing the sound of my own voice. I don't. I just want to get my thoughts out there around this new game that I'm super excited about. It's called Death Stranding. It's one that I've just recently sunk my teeth in. My teeth. It's just one I've recently sunk my teeth into, and it's developed by or produced by Hideo Kojima. Of course, is developed by a large team, and you know it's published by Kojima Productions, but also by Sony. So, because it's a PlayStation exclusive for a while, it's an amazing game. It's an amazing game. For those of you guys that don't know who Hideo Kojima is, I want to kind of give you a brief rundown, like really, really brief rundown. I'm not going to go through his whole bio, but he's a games designer that started off in the 80s, heavily influenced by Western film, just film in general. He's someone who is just, he's a pop culture consumer. He just consumes it. And he often has a lot of commentary in his games on, you know, societal affairs. He grandfathered the stealth action genre, although it may have been around prior to his first like foray into that genre called Metal Gear. Games like that may have existed, like stealth based games may have existed, but not in the way that they exist now. Like, he really redefined the genre multiple times. He redefined it when he came on Metal Gear, and then he redefined it again when he came on Metal Gear Solid 1 on the PlayStation. Then he redefined it again, you know, on the PlayStation 2 with Metal Gear Solid 3. And then, you know, it's just, he just kind of like has been really good at creating this game, this gameplay loop around stealth, around non-combative approaches, which I find to be just very fascinating. And in much needed demand. And also, honestly, if you think about how many games exist these days that are just purely action games, you know, it makes sense because action games have a lower barrier of entry. They're just easier to adopt. They're just easier to kind of like just get into. They're power fantasies. I can understand why they're more popular, but his approach to games design is unlike anybody else's. So Death Stranding, all right? What is it? Who do you play as and what do you do? If you've heard about this game, you've probably seen a trailer and been like, I don't know what the fuck any of that is. and that's the right kind of thought process to walk away from one of those trailers with. It's that you don't really know what it is until you're actually playing it. When you're watching it being played, if someone's good at playing it, it's just going to look like a run-of-the-mill walking simulator, delivery simulator, which is what it is. It's a bit of a sim. It's a sim where you play as a postman that's going from point A to point B, postman, courier, whatever you want to call him, delivery guy, whatever you want to call him. But you're going from point A to point B, reconnecting important parts of America to bring them back onto a network known as the chiral network that's going to allow humanity to reconnect themselves and in some ways, I guess, repopulate the earth and repopulate the American civilization. You play as a guy named Sam Porter. He's got a bit of a troubled past. He's kind of like this hero that's just like, leave me alone. I just want to be alone. You know, he's obviously had some trauma. This game focuses a lot on betrayal, trauma. There's a lot of introspection happening in this game. And yeah, you deliver packages. On the surface level, that sounds just like a very basic game. But the reality is that when you're delivering packages, you have to factor in a bunch of things. Like, you have to factor in your route, like how what the train is like, how you're going to get there. Is the delivery point elevated? If it's elevated, like, you're going to need climbing gear, and you need to factor in the amount of weight that the climbing gear is going to weigh. Like, you need to factor that in. Sometimes deliveries end up being really, really heavy, and the way the weight is distributed on your back will effectively determine how you're capable of controlling your character. So if you have something really, really, really heavy on the top, it's going to throw your balance off. But if you have it more focused on your core, like on your lower back and stuff like that, you won't be as hard to be hard to throw off balance. The movement is very involved. When I'm moving, I'm not actually just pushing forward on the left analog stick. I'm holding R2, I'm holding L2, and I'm holding, you know, or I'm tapping on X, or I'm holding both of them, both R2 and L2 at the same time. It really all depends on what's happening in the situation. And just to kind of give you an idea of what R2 and L2 do in this game, L2 allows your character to hold on to his left strap, and R2 will allow him to hold on to his right strap. And sometimes you'll need to hold on specifically to the right strap because you are going to be like tilting to the left because you're carrying a heavy load. So you want to straighten out by shifting your weight to the right. Sometimes you want to hold both so that you can maintain balance. Oftentimes it asks you to hold both when you're going downhill and you're picking up. Momentum is a big thing in this game. So if you have momentum, you're going to keep that momentum. Contrary to other games, if you walk into a wall in another game, you just kind of stop. If you walk into a wall full speed, if you run into a wall and you got packages, you're going to hit the wall and you're going to fall over and you're going to drop your packages and you're going to potentially damage them. And you get rated on how the packages are delivered. If the packages are damaged, you get less likes, which means you get a lower rating. If you don't deliver the package on time, you will also get a lower rating. These are like really just, these are just some of the basic elements that are there, that I find to be fascinating. Of course, you know, things are made easier for you in the game because of the asynchronous multiplayer, where other players can build structures in their world that end up showing up in your world. So things like recharge stations, bridges, ladders, climbing rope, stuff like that. Like, it's a very involved game. It's a game where you put something down in place and you're like, all right, someone's going to go ahead and use this. And this is something that I feel is borrowed from Dark Souls. You know, I know that people like to say, well, this is like the Dark Souls of this game. It's not like, well, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say that, like, the system that I saw in Dark Souls, where you left notes and stuff like that, that's the first time I'd ever seen that. And ever since I saw that, I've seen other games try to emulate that. And Hideo Kojima, or Kojima Productions, have done quite a good job with this, because not only do you have notes letting people know what's going on, but you also have actual objects in the world that'll be able to help other players. And it just feels great, you know. You, in terms of building structures, you can build anything from a recharge station to a post box to an off-site resting area, a place to protect you from the rain. Rain in this game is called Timefall. It's not actually just rain. The rain will accelerate time. So in the lore, if you're exposed to the rain and you're not wearing any protective gear, it'll age you rapidly and you'll just essentially get older. You'll become an old person. To your equipment, it actually causes it to rust and age at an accelerated rate. You have repair sprays that you can use to go ahead and just reverse that aging process. You also have these things called timefall shelters, I think is what they're called. And they're like these little tree-like structures that you can build that protect people from timefall and also repair their equipment. These are things that people can place in the world in specific areas. You know, eventually you end up reconnecting people to a power grid, and you get unlocks through there. And then eventually you reconnect people to a weather station, and then you end up being able to see weather information on your map. It's a very involved game. The things that you do in this game impact the way in which you play them. And of course, if you get good at this game, it rewards you by providing you with equipment that'll allow you to get even better. At the end of every delivery run, you have a debrief. That debrief will go ahead and let you know how well you delivered the goods, you know, what the strength of the network signal is, all that stuff. And the way that it kind of tells you, like, the way that you get rated is based on likes. So you get likes doing things in the world. You get likes by placing structures. If people use them, they can go ahead and like them. Oftentimes, I would get a little tiny little ping, and on the middle left of the screen, I've seen green text that so-and-so had used my structure, someone had used my road, someone had, or X amount of people appreciated me and I've gotten this many likes out of it, or this structure is received, is being used. And it's just, it's cool. That, I think, is very, very, very cool. I'm interested to see if there's going to be any kind of world events that pop up or anything like that. If Hideo Kojima just kind of made this world and he's going to have a hands-off approach to it. I'd like to see more stuff. I'd like to see random things happen. I'd like to see things that where I go in at a specific time. In true Kojima fashion, by the way, when you start your game, it asks you for your date of birth. So I'm wondering what it's going to do there. You know, I'm wondering if it'll do something like it did in Metal Gear Solid 5, where if you showed up onto the platform on your birthday, you'd have your entire staff singing happy birthday to you. It's just a little touch that I just thought was quite nice. And that's something that Hideo does in these games. I want to talk about the stealth elements too. You know, because this is a Kojima game, people expect stealth. You know, and understandably so, because this guy has made the ultimate stealth experience. You know, Metal Gear Solid 5 might have been a bit of a dud in terms of the story, but in terms of gameplay, it was the peak of the series. It was the best stealth game I've ever played in my life, and I played almost every stealth game that's come out. It really is. It was the best stealth game. The amount of effort that was put into the military force in that game, the way that the military force communicated, like if you caused an alert in one base, they would send a radio signal to another base, and then that other base would send reinforcements. That was something I'd never ever seen in a game, and I thought it was really cool. And the way it was done, at least, it was done in a very realistic way, and I like that. That's something I've always appreciated about Kojima, is that even though the games are fantastic, and there's a lot of fantastic in the literal sense, in the sense that it's like fantastical in nature, like there's lots of crazy things happening, there's still an element of realism, real world communication, tangible. There's a tangible quality to what's going on in those worlds. So yeah, stealth. Stealth in Death Stranding is stealth. I mean, you use cover, use elevated grass to like remain in cover. Of course, the enemies also have sensors that can detect when someone's there. So even if you're in grass, if they're close enough, they'll be able to see you because their sensors will go off. You have this little thing. I don't know. I think it's called a Cupid. I think that's what it is. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's like a light thing that blinks and makes a mechanical noise as you get closer and closer to danger. That's what it'll do for the enemies. There's two enemy types that I've seen, or three enemy types that I've seen so far. There's this group called the Homo Demons. that's Homo, D-E-M-E-N-S, that's like they're like a military terrorist group that doesn't want America to reunite. I should probably explain. I don't know if I've said this already, but the game is essentially about reuniting America. It's about rebuilding the core network of America. I think I may have said that. But yeah, anyways, this terrorist group, the Homo Demons, they don't want America to be reunited. They want chaos. Then you have these people called the Mules. I don't know what the exact acronym stands for, but these are people who are, as described in the game, addicted to the delivery. They love delivering things, I guess. If you have orders on you, or if you have anything that needs to be delivered to another location, you get pinged by them. They're going to hunt you down, and they're going to knock you out, and they're going to take whatever you had to deliver, and they're going to strip you of your equipment, and they're going to put you somewhere else, like in a ditch or somewhere, and they're going to take whatever they took from you and put it into one of their secure lockers. At which point, you're forced to kind of go there, get their stuff, and then get the stuff back, and then get to the location you need to go to. And of course, that involves stealth. In order to take people down, you get a variety of weapons. You have this one thing, I forget what it's called. It's called a strand. The thing is literally called a strand, and that's like a Garrett of sorts. You choke people out. You just like put them to sleep essentially, and you know, you approach them from behind. You hold down L2 and then you press R2 and boom, that's it. They're asleep, and you know, so you use your basic stealth tactics to kind of get the upper hand there. In terms of when stealth fails, combat ends up being really interesting. You can do a lot of dodges from left to right, back forward. You can tackle people if you hold down R2 and L2 at the same time, and then sprint. You can hold square while holding that, which once again, this is just an example of Kojima's mastery of controls. The controls in this game, you know, if you can go ahead and argue the controls in the previous Metal Gear games weren't good, but in Metal Gear Solid 5 refined the experience, and now here he's brought all the experience that he's gathered from his time with Metal Gear and put it into a game like Death Stranding. If you guys remember, in Metal Gear, the close quarters combat, you could end up doing some pretty cool things if you you know, knew how to work the system. And in just like this, you know, if you hold down R2, L2 at the same time, you sprint and you hold square, you can tackle people. So you can knock them back a bit, and then you can pummel them, you know, by pressing square and doing a little bit of CQC, which is great. You can also use packages you're carrying in your hand to add a little bit of extra punch. And yeah, you can just, there's all these things that end up happening when you're in the combat situation. There's two incidences where you really use stealth is when you're going ahead and you're invading bases, or you are trying to avoid enemies like BTs. Now, BTs are the really cool enemy type that I've never seen before in a game. They are essentially just spirits that inhabit the earth. They used to be people. Once the people die, they become BTs. If they're not cremated, these people will come around during these ghosts or these creatures will come around during times of intense rainfall. And when that does happen, you do have at that point you have to like avoid them. You either avoid them or you'll use weapons at your disposal. You know, eventually get some weapons to go ahead and take care of them, and it makes it a lot easier. If they catch you, they drag you into the ground and they pull you around, and it's like a really cinematic, very cool experience. And then you pop up, and then there's a big creature that you have to fight, and that's the main BT you have to fight. And if you beat it, then they're gone. If you escape it, then they're gone. The first time I encountered them, I ended up having to escape because I ran out of any kind of ammo to do any kind of damage on it. And so I just ran and I ended up escaping, and it was great. It's a very, very interesting experience. It is not a game I have ever thought of playing before. When I think of video games and I think of stealth experiences, I think of mainly more action-oriented experiences. I think of, you know, soldiers. I think of, killing bad guys. I think of, building up a character, making him more and more powerful. And in this game, you do become more powerful, but in a different way. You just become more able. You become more able to make deliveries. You become more able to do more. You become more able in being able to reconnect people, which I think is fascinating. It's very fascinating. It's very rewarding. It's a very rewarding gameplay loop. It's something that I did not expect. I knew that I was going to enjoy this game because it's a Hideo Kojima game, because I feel like the gameplay that I had seen seemed like it was fun. And it is fun. I've never had this much fun just delivering and walking across areas. In fact, I'm thinking about it right now because I can't wait to wrap up this podcast so I can just turn it on and start streaming with you guys. So there was one thing that I also really loved about it was building like structures, you know. Building structures was at the beginning of the game, I was like, okay, I guess I'll do this, you know. But it becomes so necessary because the land, the terrain is rough. It's not good. It's not like a easy to get around. But it becomes easier when people are building bridges, when people are leaving recharge stations, when people are leaving timefall shelters, when people are leaving post boxes, when people are leaving safe zones away from main cities. These things become, it makes the game easier, but it makes the game easier in a way that doesn't make it feel like it's worthless or pointless. It makes the game feel easier in a way that's like, wow, I'm part of a community here. That's what I really like. So, for example, you know, in the, I think it was the third act of the game. I'm not really sure where I'm at exactly. I haven't been too focused on where I'm at. I've just been appreciating where I am at. I'm just appreciating it. There's a point where I came up to this structure on the road. It was a terminal, and it was like a road reconstruction terminal, and I had to drop off ceramics, metals, and I forget what the other thing is called. Chiral? I don't know what it's called. I really don't know. I don't remember. I'm drawing a blank, okay? But there's resources in this game, and you can bring them over to specific things. And of course, the resources actually take up physical space. So sometimes you'll need a vehicle to bring over lots of them. Or you can build yourself a little cart. I forget what they're actually called, but a little, there's like, yeah, eventually you can make equipment that allows you to carry lots of stuff. So, you know, I brought the resources over and I built a road. And this road made it easier for people to get from one point to another. And eventually I just started noticing that people on these other servers, other players, were also contributing to these roads. And these roads were appearing in my world. And suddenly, you know, I remember I had to do this one mission where they were like, you have to go from all the way up north here, all the way south there. But by that point, the road had almost fully been constructed to the location that I needed to get to, and all I did was just take a bike and just stay on the highway. And even though that made the experience much easier, it didn't feel any less rewarding because I felt like I was contributing to that. I built three sections of that road, you know. I made that trip easier. And in between that, I was doing all sorts of other stuff, like I was raiding mule outposts. I was going into a broken down city area, avoiding BTs, picking up more resources and bringing them to somebody else. Like, there was things being done that I just thought made me feel like the game is so involved. And I want to talk a little bit about the controls here. Like, the controls are really like they're the aspect of this game that shine the most, you know. You really are in control of Sam Porter. You really are. Like, he isn't just a character that you push on, like that you control with an analog stick. You have to be mindful about where he's stepping. You have to be mindful of what he's stepping into. You have to be mindful about how you're going to be getting to your locations. That's what I appreciate about this game. And I wish more games had adopted this sense of control where, you know, if you are being silly and you're running around and you're not paying attention, you should trip over. I think that should be a thing. Why not? You know, why do games these days get you to just, I mean, I understand why. I understand why. Some people just want a more casual experience, and I can understand that. This isn't as meditative and as immersive and as zen of an experience this is. I still do not think that this is it can be played casually. It can totally be played casually, but it's not very much a casual experience. This is a game made for gamers. This is a game to elevate gamers. And I think it's really quite awesome. One of the reasons why I enjoy it, is mainly because of its thematic nature, the thematic aspects of it, you know, this idea of reconnecting people, this idea of being present, of being real, of appreciating one another, working in a community. I know it's a little bit, it's laid on quite a bit thick by Mr. Kojima, you know, but it's beautiful nonetheless because the gameplay revolves around connecting people. The gameplay revolves around, you know, bettering yourself and your methods as you're bettering the structure of the world around you. And I just think that's fascinating. I think that's a message that, even though it is laid on thick, will impact people in a way that would make them reflect a little bit more on how they're maybe going about their lives and how they're maybe, you know, how intentional they're being with their lives. Because this game is about intention. This game is about being intentional in your decisions. Where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? What are you going to bring with you? Intention. Thought process. You have to think about it. The menu forces you to place things in your inventory to be like, this is what you're going to do. Or you want to put this here? Okay. You're going to put this on your leg. You're going to put this on your, oh, by the way, let me just go ahead and just, I forgot to mention this, but when you're loading your guy out, you have the option to place items on your arms and on your back and on your legs if you don't have an exoskeleton. If you have an exoskeleton, which I recommend to anybody if they're playing this game, it just makes it easier to balance. It makes it easier to just carry large loads of things. But it eliminates the ability to put stuff on your legs. So you can normally put like some packages on your legs, which, you know, would generally, it's just interesting. It's really quite fascinating. I absolutely love this game, and I just love what it's offering. So yeah, what was I saying? There was something about, I was saying something about packages, saying something about inventory. Yeah, where are you going to be putting? So essentially, you just got to worry about like where you're, not worry. Worry is the wrong word. Worry is a negative word, but you just got to pay attention to what you're carrying, how you're carrying it. If you have like a really, really, really heavy object, and let's say you have like your backpack and your backpack's already full, and you put that heavy object on top of your backpack, so suddenly it's like behind your head, that's going to cause you to fall off like balance quite a bit, right? So you're going to end up struggling with your balance more. However, if you choose the auto range option in your inventory where it places that piece along your core, it'll make it much easier to, and it's just, that is fascinating to me. The use of weight, the use of momentum is just, I haven't seen a game do it as well as this has. It really is quite something. This isn't a race to the finish either. Like, that's what I love about it. This is a game where you just should exist in it. Just play it, exist in it, appreciate it, have fun with it, have fun with the world, have fun with the mechanics. Take a piss. Build some structures. Give someone some likes. Climb a mountain. You know, go into a mule camp and try to see if you can just get in without having to encounter anyone. These are things that you can all do in the game. Just be in the game. That's the one thing I could say, is just don't worry about racing to the finish. It's about 32 hours long. And I think after the fact, I know that after the fact, you can continue to play in the world. So it's not about getting everything done. It's mainly about getting it done however you want to get it done. So if you want to linger in an area, linger in it. If you don't want to linger in the area, don't linger in the area. You're not going to be missing out necessarily. You can always come by and get it afterwards. And I think that's the beauty of it. I want to see Kojima go places with the series, all right? I know that this is the first iteration of it. I'm excited to see what he adds as a layer. This is the initial establishment of lore in Death Stranding. So we're going to see how he expands upon the lore. We're going to see how he expands upon the gameplay. I'd like to see more action-oriented stealth gameplay. I'd like to play a game in this world from the perspective of another person, not a courier, someone else maybe. That would be interesting. You know, it would be really cool to see how this all works and fits together. In terms of additional features, it's hard to say right now because I've kind of put myself on a spot. Like, what am I going to list as additional features that I think that Kojima should put into this game? It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. It's something that I need to put a little bit more thought into, and I guess I can put more thought into it because I am going to write a video for this because I want to lay out my thoughts in a more structured, intelligent sounding manner. I don't think I sound dumb here, but I feel like I'm kind of all over the place. I'm looking at a point form list of things I should talk about as opposed to a written out document. You know, it's completely different. But what would I like to see? What more would I like to see in this game? I think I would like to see more vehicle choices. I'd like to see a little bit more. You know, this is going to sound crazy, but I'd like to see a little bit more violence. You know, I'm not sure what happens. I know that there's other things that happen. There's a lot of spoilers that have been hidden from me, which are great. But I'd like to see, you know, a little bit more, maybe a more involved multiplayer experience, something that is more of a versus mode. I know that this sounds like this, that we're going into, you know, the usual territory where it's like a versus mode. What is it going to be, team deathmatch? No, I don't want anything like that, but I would like to see what could come up with like this world I would like to see what will come up, what people could come up with, given this world that's being established. You know, a competitive aspect of it could be very, very interesting. A competitive delivery aspect, for example, that would be interesting. An economy, a like economy, that could be interesting too. I don't know. There's all sorts of things that could happen. Look, guys, I'm gonna wrap up this podcast. I wanted to thank you guys for listening to me talk about Death Stranding. If you haven't played Death Stranding, I highly recommend you do if you're interested in a game about delivering parcels from point A to point B. It is very much a simulator. It's a simulator in a cinematic world. Oh, I forgot to fucking talk about that. The cinematic qualities of this game are amazing. I know that's like, oh, it's a video game. I want a video game, not a movie. Look, there's cutscenes that exist, but when you're playing the actual game, you're playing a game. It's not like a game that's holding your hand and all that. It's a game that really lets you be free. They're like, here are the mechanics. Here's what you can do. Do what you want. That's the idea. And that, I think, is what a game should be. The cinematic aspects have added to it. They've put some purpose behind the gameplay, and it's just beautiful. Really, really well done. It's amazing to see all these actors. It's amazing to see Norman Reedus and Lea Seydoux just like there acting in a game. You know, video games for the longest time, you know, people have said pointless. It's a medium that offers nothing. It's nothing but a waste of time. Not true. It's clearly not true. A lot of actors in the future are going to be going to games for work. All right. As video games develop, as video games become more immersive, as they become more photorealistic, it just makes sense to act in them. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't you want to act? Why wouldn't, if your job is to be able to convey emotion in a way that is authentic, why wouldn't you do it in a video game? As video games become bigger and better on a daily basis. I don't know. Look, guys, give Death Stranding a shot. I'm loving it. I'm excited. If you want to see what the game is like and you're not really sure, you can always go ahead and drop by twitch.tv/MrBuntyKing. If I'm not playing, you can always tweet at me. You know, my Twitter is RealBuntyKing. You guys know where to find me. I would really, really love for you to let me know what you thought of this episode of the podcast. I know it was shorter than usual, I'm by myself and I didn't want to keep you guys too long. I actually want you guys just to kind of understand what I think about this game. And I want you guys to experience this game for yourself because I feel like it's a truly unique experience. If you guys enjoyed this episode, feel free to go ahead and leave a review wherever reviews can be found. And of course, feel free to go ahead and share this podcast with a friend. You know, share it with a friend. Be like, hey, look, I know you like games. This guy, he does a podcast about games and it's honestly great. It's just great. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. This was quite wonderful. I'll catch you guys later. My name's Anand Virk, and you're listening to the Get Good Podcast. The podcast that's all about building connections.